You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
I have a story to share before we come around the word. And if you're at Youth Friday, you know what it is. So you had a little sneak peek. But it got to the end of the day Friday and I was very excited to have some dinner. We'd pre-prepared some parts for burgers during the week. And, you know, I did all the right things. I heated up the burger. I toasted the buns. I was very excited for this moment. And then, who likes barbecue sauce? Barbecue sauce? Yeah. I lathered my burger with barbecue sauce. And it was going to be absolutely brilliant. And I sat down at the table and I took a bite. And it tasted okay, but then it was kind of like it started tasting a little bit funny. I was like, this is very, very sweet barbecue sauce. So I took half of another bite and I realized that I had put chocolate sauce on my burger. Now, in my defense, in the fridge in the cafe, there is a bottle of tomato sauce and it is in, you know, just like a nondescript squeezy bottle. Next to it, there is the same bottle with brown sauce in it. So surely you would have made the same mistake that I did. So whoever made that decision, that's your fault and not mine. But, you know, in that moment, I was asking the question, you know, why me? Like, I was hungry. I was ready to devour that burger. And it wasn't salvageable, unfortunately. It wasn't salvageable. It was too far gone. You know, but the question, why me? I think it's a question that we often ask. You know, why did that happen to me? Why did that happen? And I think we often ask it because we feel like something is unfair, unjust. Maybe we don't understand something. And I think often it's an unanswerable question because it's one we say out of despair, disappointment, and anger. And, you know, if that's something that resonates with you this morning, can I encourage you that as a church, we have the ability to organize to speak to a pastor, to do a pastoral appointment or be referred on to counseling. And, you know, whatever it takes for us to journey through these things. But today, when it comes to the question, why me? You know, I want to ask it in a different way. You know, can we ask it with purpose? Not saying, why me? Why did this happen? But God, why me? Why did you create me? You know, for what specific purpose do I exist? You know, because sometimes I think we can wonder what we're supposed to do. You know, what is God's will for my life? And you know, today, can why me not be a question of lament, but one of seeking God's best for our lives? You know, because God has created and purposed each of us intricately, uniquely for purpose, to work together as the body and walk together toward a common goal. So let's ask this with intention today. And, you know, we're going to come around a scripture out of Ephesians 4 and look at some key things that we can learn from what Paul is encouraging us for who God has created us to be. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this word today. And we pray that as we come around it, that you would speak to our hearts, that our hearts would be open and receptive to what you would speak to each of us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would minister to each of us individually. We just invite you in this morning, invite you to speak and to minister in this place. Amen. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 4, it says, this is Paul, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. You know, what a power-packed scripture. You know, what a power-packed scripture. We could preach on this for the rest of the year, but I'm only going to preach on it for 30 more minutes, let's say. You know, today we're going to unpack a few key points from this, and that is to live a life worthy of your calling, the power of unity, the power of our uniqueness, and then our key this morning, why me? Because if we look back at this scripture, does it say that he has given some of us a gift through the generosity of Christ? I don't know, I didn't read that before. It says that he has given all of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. You know, it's not that a few are gifted, that a few are chosen. We're all given gifts. There's no exceptions. You know, first of all, we receive the gift of God's grace. You know, salvation is for all people. God's love is for all people. And Jesus came to die for all. He rose from the dead for all so that we could be saved, so that we could be in relationship with God. He brought grace into all of the world, not just for some, but for all. And you know, the empowerment of God's grace for us rests on each of us as well. You know, God's ability resting upon us, working in us and working through us. You know, it's something that I'm so thankful for in my life, that I know with God by my side that I don't have to walk this life alone, but that God gave his Holy Spirit to empower me, to strengthen me, and to guide me. You know, God's grace is for all people. God's grace is for you this morning, first in salvation, but also in his empowerment and his ability for you. There's no exceptions to this. So from Ephesians 4, Paul's first encouragement to us is to live a life worthy of your calling. Live a life worthy of your calling. Now, I think often when we hear the word calling, we can attach it to a specific group of people who are called to ministry, who are called to, you know, maybe work for a church, be a pastor. But calling isn't just for a few. Calling is for all who will believe. You know, each of us are called to do something specific, set apart by God for the specific purpose and entrusted with something by him. You know, you are called. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You know, we're all created to do good works. We're all called. And God has a plan and a purpose and good works prepared for you. You know, it's not random. You know, it's not a lottery. We are specifically created for it, the purposes that God has for each of us. So in light of this understanding, understanding that God calls each of us, that he has a purpose for each of us, Paul says that we should live a life worthy of the call. You know, he doesn't just say that, he actually begs. He urges us. You know, he begs and he urges us to live a life worthy of our calling, because I think he has an understanding of the eternal importance of what it is that God has for each of us. You know, what God is calling you to is of eternal importance. So how do we respond to this? You know, what's our response to this understanding? You know, because when we understand that it's God who's called us, that it's God who's positioned us, God who's appointed us, you know, it spurs us on to do things a little bit differently. When we understand who it is that has called us, who it is who has positioned us. You know, are there any football supporters in the room this morning? Anyone like football? Not really? No one? Well, some of you might like this one, but imagine that you're relaxing, it's Saturday, you just want a real chill day, and you get a knock on the door, and it's the kid from next door. And he's like, "Hey, can we go down to the park and kick a football?" And you wanted a relaxed Saturday, right? So you're like, I've had a big week. I'm feeling a bit sore. You know, it's raining. It's cold. So you don't really want to do it, right? But now imagine you hear a knock at the door and it's Gary Ablett Jr. standing at the door. And he's like, will you come to the park and kick the football with me? You know, I'm not sore anymore. I've got so much energy. You know, it's not cold and it's not raining. It's refreshing. The rain is refreshing. Because who asks the question matters. You know, we understand that it's God who has called us, and it spurs us on and it encourages us to live a life that is worthy of our calling. You know, I want to interject for a moment and say, when this scripture talks about being worthy, you know, it's not talking about earning. You know, we don't earn the call that God has placed on our lives. It's given to us. But it's talking about living a life that's in right alignment with that principle. Understanding that what we do matters. You know, Philippians chapter 1 from verse 27 says, just be sure you live as God's people in a way that honors the good news of Christ. You know, I think sometimes we can be like, you know, a little bit of this won't matter. A little bit of that won't matter. But when we understand the importance of the message that we carry, the power of the good news of Christ, you know, that encourages us to live a life that honors that. Live a life that honors that. You know, being spurred on to live a life that's honoring of the message that we're called to carry. You know, because how do I perceive the call that God has for me? You know, in the light of the Great Commission to go into all the world and see people know Jesus, you know, it highlights the importance of the part that I play. You know, that what I do matters. You know, we're encouraged this morning to live a life worthy of the call that God has for us. You know, the second thing I see from Ephesians 4 is the power of unity. You know, when you think about unity within the church, you know, what do you think of? You know, is it something that we aspire to? Is it something that maybe we consider a core value? But can I encourage you that we need to move beyond simply listing unity as a value and to truly weave it into the fabric of who we are and how we operate? You know, it's more than, you know, a dot point on a piece of paper. You know, in Ephesians 4, Paul says to make every effort. You know, unity requires effort. You know, unity is not automatic. You know, the scripture gave us some things that we need to do around unity. We have to exercise patience. We have to make allowance for each other's fault. You know, why does unity require effort? Because we're all meant to work together, but we're all imperfect. I'm imperfect. You might be perfect, but I'm imperfect. You know, what's the expectation that we have around unity? Is it flawless cohesion? Because I don't even know if flawless cohesion is really unity. You know, unity is a gritty, grace-filled commitment to journeying together. You know, even when we may not see eye to eye. You know, unity requires effort, and we're called to find unity in despite our differences. You know, disunity isn't worth it. You know, we can choose to forgive. You know, hear my heart this morning. It's not being about being blind to what we've experienced or what we've gone through, but I think we can choose to hold on to things that we're not meant to carry anymore. We can choose to hold on to hurts and, you know, set up camp there and decide that's where I'm going to stay. But we have a world to reach outside of the four walls of this church. But we can become so fixated on what's happening inside of it that we can miss out on fulfilling our purpose. You know, when our internal frustrations, our disagreements, you know, maybe we don't agree on 10/10 of theology. These things can steal our focus, and we risk losing our potency, the power that we have in the power of the gospel, you know, our ability to reach into the world around us. You know, because unity is more than a value. You know, it's more than something that we aspire to, but it's a positioning of our heart. It's a decision that we make, that we will choose to be unified even despite our differences. Because what is it that unites us? You know, it's not being harmonious. It's not seeing everything the same way, but it's God Himself and the salvation that He brings to us. You know, we're all different with unique giftings. unique backgrounds, experiences, but Paul reminds us to be united in our firm foundation. You know, can I encourage you, if you serve on a team, that on Wednesday night at our serving team rally, Pastor Lee's going even further on unity. And I want to encourage you to be there because it will be powerful. It will change your heart. It will change your mindset. So the power of unity. And then the third is the power of uniqueness. You know, there's such an incredible duality here. You know, there's power in our unity, but there's power in our uniqueness. You know, we're called to be united, but we're all different. And this is purposeful. This isn't a mistake. We're uniquely different because we have different purposes. There's things that you can do that I can't, and there's things that I can do that you can't. You know, we're called to stand and walk together in unity, but it's in our incredible diversity that we find our strength, our unique giftings, our unique perspectives, because when joined together, it creates a beautiful tapestry. Now, think about an orchestra for a moment. You know, when an orchestra plays together, it's a beautiful symphony. But then let's take one instrument and play it by itself. The Bible refers to it as a clanging cymbal. You know, if someone's standing there like, it's not going to be very pleasant, is it? But in the context of the orchestra, at the crescendo of the moment, that's the best thing ever. It's not a clanging cymbal. Like, that's the pinnacle. That's the moment we all stand and clap. You know, the orchestra, when together, creates an incredible symphony because it's designed to work together. And the same is true for us. We're designed to work together. Ephesians 4 verse 16 says, "He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." You know, Paul highlights each part doing its special work. You know, we're not talking here about a simple list of strengths and weaknesses or just the things that we're good at. It's so much deeper. You know, it speaks to the intricate, meticulous, specific design and value that God has placed upon each of us as individuals. You know, we may ask the question, you know, what do I have to bring? You know, what could I possibly have to bring? But there's great freedom found in a shift of perspective. That it's not about what I have to bring, but it's understanding who God has created me to be. And living out the purpose of how God has meticulously, intricately created me. So back to our initial question this morning. Why me? Why has God created me? You know, in Ephesians 4, it said, "However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people." You know, when Jesus ascended, he left the church with a mission to fulfill the great commission. But he didn't leave us unequipped. He didn't leave us alone. He left us with gifts and with grace to carry out the journey. You know, the scripture goes on to say, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors, and the teachers." You know, when we read this and we think about gifts and the ones that are listed here, we might think we're not all called to be pastors. We're not all called to be teachers, prophets. You know, and those who are given for the church to equip the church, to build up the church and to impart into it. But who knows that what happens in the church isn't the only thing that we're called to. You know, all of us have something to bring. Some that impact here, some that impact the community, some that impact our families. You know, just because you don't resonate with one of these five gifts doesn't mean God hasn't given you a gift. Because God has given gifts to each of us and we're created to serve that specific purpose. You know, maybe when you hear this, you think of a time in the past that you've done a spiritual gift test. Has anyone done one of those before? You know, could I say this morning that perhaps the list of gifts at the end of the spiritual gift test is not an exhaustive list of the things that God could place on our heart? Like, maybe it points us in the right direction, but God has created us so much more intricately than what a 90 question multiple choice questionnaire could tell us. You know, if God created everything on this earth so intricately, how much more so each of us? How much more so each of us? You know, what God has placed inside of you is so intricately woven into who you are that you couldn't possibly capture it in its fullness through a test. I'm not saying don't do the test, but it's so much deeper than that. Because the question, why me, is one that we ask with a faith-filled, heartfelt orientation toward our God. You know, God, what have you put into me? God, why have you put me on this earth? Why have you placed me in this church, in this community? What is the purpose that you have for me? You know, it's not something that is earned. But we can ask God to reveal what he has given to each of us. You know, it says that God has given us a special gift through the generosity of Christ, one that is not earned but that is given and is to be stewarded and cared for well. You know, it comes from the word charis from the Greek, which is connected to the word charisma. But Paul is using it differently here. You know, he's using it to show us that these gifts that are given are unearned. They're grace-given, God-given abilities that aren't all necessarily charismatic. You know, they may not be seen, they may not be at the forefront of things, but it's the special ability to do something specific. You know, what do I find an ease in that nobody else does? You know, do I have the ability to show consistent kindness when everyone around me starts getting angry? Do I have a keen eye for detail in administration and organization? Am I a calm presence in a crisis? Do I have the discipline to consistently pray for others and not give up? Do I have the capacity for a deep empathy that others around me don't possess? You know, for me, around this, and what I'm about to say, you probably won't find in a spiritual gift questionnaire. But for me, there's moments in my life where I can see the bigger picture when others can't. You know, I can see what cogs need to fit into place before the full picture is revealed. You know, I can sometimes see potential problems before they even arise. You know, I don't say this morning to boast, but I say this because it's something that has given me such a great freedom in my life, because I understand a part of who God has created me to be, what sets me apart, what makes me different, that these things that are on my life that go beyond just natural inclination, natural strengths, but something much more deeper. You know, it's deeper than a personality trait because it's a God-given, grace-filled ability. You know, these same revelation is for you this morning, that God wants to reveal to you who he has created you to be. You know, some are called to bring out generosity to their world. Some are called to bring a different perspective in the workplace. Some are called to show compassion when others just won't. Some are called to stand for integrity and justice. But can we ask the question this morning, God, why me? God, what have you given to me? You know, what has God uniquely created me for? God, why me? How can I use this understanding to serve my God? How can I use this understanding to serve in my church? How can I use this understanding to serve the world around me and see the kingdom of God expanded? You know, can I encourage you that it's important that we call out in each other the good things that we see? And, you know, this morning I want to make a distinction between going up to someone and being like, God told me you have the gift of prophecy, and just encouraging them in what they're good at. You know, it allows God to speak to us. It allows God to reveal what he's placed in our heart, the strengths that he's put in us, the God-given grace-filled abilities. You know, Romans chapter 12 from verse 6 to 8 says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Now, when we understand that these abilities, these grace-filled, God-given abilities on us are much more than strengths and weaknesses, are much more than personality traits, but they are part of the meticulous way that God has created us. You know, it changes our perspective to a way that we can live out our lives empowered and directed and guided by God. So this morning, I just want us to take a short moment today to position ourselves before God and ask this very question. Ask God, why me? God, why have you created me? So we're going to do that. We're going to take a moment. Can I encourage you just to position yourself in a way that we can respond to this, to ask this question? God, I thank you for the incredible way that you have created us. I thank you for the meticulous and intricate way that you have put us together. And I pray right now that as we incline our hearts to you, as we open our hearts to hear your voice and ask the question, why me, that you would reveal purpose. God, that you would reveal instruction this morning. God, we open our hearts to you and we ask that you would speak to us. God, I thank you for what you are speaking. God, I thank you for what you are revealing. God, I pray that the revelation that you are imparting would come alive in us, would encourage us, would spur us on in all that you have for us. Now, just as we come toward the end this morning, now, God's first gift to us is the opportunity to receive his forgiveness and receive his love. You know, relationship with God and our salvation, it's not found by just doing the right thing. It's not found by following a religious system, but it's found by asking God for his forgiveness and allowing him to change our lives, allowing him to become a part of our everyday lives. And the Bible tells us that we are all created for relationship with God. But because of the sin in our lives, the tendency that we have to go our own way, to miss the mark, to choose ourselves over God, that relationship is broken. But Jesus came to change all that. Now, Jesus came to restore the broken relationship. And he paid the ultimate price for our sin by dying on the cross in our place. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead, defeating death. And because of what Jesus has done, the way is open for us to experience a real, a vibrant, and a life-giving relationship with God. So today, if you've never made the decision to accept Jesus into your life, you know, if you've never begun that personal relationship with God, you know, you have the opportunity to do that right now. You know, it's not about living a perfect life today. It's not about cleaning up your act first or earning love from God. It's about recognizing that we need God and accepting the free gift of salvation that he has for us. You know, and it starts as with a simple prayer of admitting that we have done wrong by God and we need his forgiveness. Choosing to believe in him, that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead, and confessing that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, inviting him to become a part of your life. You know, Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, this is a decision that we can make that changes everything. And it's the first step toward walking a life with the grace and the ability that God offers us. So just with every eye closed this morning, You know, if this is something that you want to do today, if you want to start this incredible journey of life with God, I want to invite you to respond and invite you to pray this prayer with me and the rest of the church. So repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to make a way for me to be in relationship with you. I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. I choose today to follow you. Amen. Amen. We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.